Hello everybody and welcome to Turncloaks, a Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition actual play podcast presented by Encounter Roleplay. My name is Will and I'll be your Dungeon Master for tonight as we once again return to the dark fantasy world of Penumbral and back to our adventurers in this world of the Turncloaks. So let's go around and meet the cast and crew of today, remind ourselves of who we are and who we are playing. And let's start today with Joseph. How's it going, Joseph?
It's going pretty well. Been a good day so far, so this is the classic thing that comes along and ruins it for me, but no, very excited about it. So today I'll be playing Tamarin, the human ranger of the group.
Fantastic. We also have Sydney with us today. How's it going, Sydney?
It's going good. I think this is going to be an interesting episode.
I agree. So who are you going to be playing?
I am playing Ari. She is a half-elf rogue.
Fantastic. Josh, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I will be playing Charles, aka Luna, and he is a human monk acolyte.
You know, if you put Charles and Luna together, you get tuna.
You do indeed. There, the plot delicious thickens. Like a good bechamel sauce little, that you might put with
little tuna. Did you guys know that Luna is in fact just a tuna, has been masquerading in disguise as one of the last tunas left on this planet.
Indeed, and you could say he's up to some fishy business.
Oh god,
the pain begins anew. And last but not least, we have Tall School with us today. How's it going, Tall School?
Doing good. Actually, just got back from Gen Con, so that was awesome. I know this is pre-recorded, so it's way in the past for the rest of you. But I am playing Alistair, who is a wood elf cleric. But in this low magic world, he is a plague doctor because the divine and magic is much less present here. So,
Absolutely. All right, so Sydney is going to do our recap for today. So, Sydney, let me ask you, what happened last time on Turncloaks?
Okay, so last time we all went into the home of Baron Jering along with Lorena's troops. Tamarin and Alistair went into his room to find him in bed with some very young girls. So they pinned him down and sort of beat the crap out of him, as they should. And Ari and Luna took the girls into another room. Alistair interrogated Baron Jering and found out that the girls were actually a gift from the Baroness, Baroness Dulaine. And so Alistair and Ari afterwards tended to the girls and healed them, and Ari stayed with them until they fell asleep, while Luna went into the basement to take care of Baron Jering, and everyone else went and trained with Lorena to sort of take their minds off of the events that had taken place.
That's right, yeah. Renford had managed to extract some information from Jering as well, which he shared with you guys, and Alistair shortly thereafter followed Luna into the basement. And that is where we're going to be picking up today, with down in the basement, Luna has stepped in to see Baron Jering has no eyes. As far as I remember, did he put out the eyes or was it the tongue?
Yeah, he put out.
Always mix those two up. Yeah, you step down into the basement to see Baron Jering chained to the wall, and he has no eyes, which have been taken from him by Sir Renfred.
He sort of just stands there before the man, feels kind of slighted that the guy has no way of seeing him. And realizes he's actually quite angry that the man doesn't have any eyes because he wanted him to watch. And at this point, he comes to his mind that he's not entirely sure what he's expecting the man to watch, because he's not entirely sure what he's going to do. He's never been in a situation like this before. So he just hits the stick that he walks with against the metal bars of this sort of makeshift dungeon prison sort of area to get this guy's attention, to see if he's conscious, that sort of thing.
He seems to be conscious if not completely lucid, and kind of startles at the sound.
So you are still awake, still conscious?
You hear him say,
yes, yes, just, but are you here to end it? Please.
I have some questions for you.
He says, I've answered all of your questions.
I haven't asked you any questions. Maybe other men did. But I want to know what it is that... And he pauses, almost like choking on the words. What exactly is it that earns you a gift such as the one that we found you with?
He takes a moment to reply and says, I don't know. I don't know. All I did was give the mage a room here for a time. That's all I did. I swear.
He steps over closer to the man and takes his walking stick and he swipes it very hard and firm right across the bone of this man's shin.
He yelps out in agony.
What exactly gives you the right to terrorize those young and innocent girls?
I didn't hurt anyone. I didn't mean to hurt anyone. And they were given everything anyone could want. Money, food, a room.
What of their families?
I don't know. I wasn't told.
He breaks the man's nose.
Yeah, he kind of...
I have spent my entire life knowing that there are people out there in the world like you. My wife, God's rest her soul, used to tell me stories of heroes. And for every hero, there must be a villain. So I've heard tales of men, women, monsters. But now I find myself face to face with one. And I'm finding the experience underwhelming. You are just a wretch. A sack of shit, masquerading as man. You're never going to leave this place. But you are going to suffer.
Now please, please, let it end.
Do you have any idea how many men we have?
I don't know.
No, you don't. But all of them... Almost every single last one to the T. They all have families. I could do a million and one things to you. But they took this place. They took it from armed men they fought. And I think they deserve to have a chance to enjoy your company. And I very much doubt any of them are going to grant you the peace you so deserve.
He kind of falls into fits of blubbering crying.
And he lets him hang there crying for a moment, just staring at him. And sort of in his mind, he's very determined to walk away. And then there's just something that snaps. He's just thinking to himself, you know, this man is begging for pity and for mercy. And he imagines, you know, there's probably been many a time the tale we've been told, certainly by Captain Renford, that how many people are currently buried on the grounds, who over the years have been sent to him. And as he goes to walk away, he realizes he can't, and grabs this man by the throat. And his eyes sort of flash, and down his arm there is lightning that runs through his skin, and he sears this man's flesh with just rage and anger, melting the skin around his neck and closing his fist around his throat and his spine, looking into those pits that were eyes once.
Yeah, it's at this point that Alistair makes his way down, and you see the hand to the throat and this flash of energy as lightning courses its way through Charles's hand and begins to melt the flesh.
And Alistair, he emerges from the shadows of the staircase. He has a large pitcher from the kitchen with water, and actually another bucket of water as well. As he comes down, he sets the one bucket sort of on a table near the staircase and comes over with the large container and just places his hand on Luna's shoulder, says, "You are a good man. Let me finish this. Don't do this to yourself."
Luna flinches as you sort of come down, not actually having heard you. Probably not. You could have probably rode an entire cavalry charge past the cell at that point, and he probably wouldn't have been aware of what was going on around him. So you've caught him completely off guard, and he is now just looking at his hand and shaking, and looks to Alistair, who currently actually has a hand on his shoulder, and
"Are you okay?"
I "What?"
Alistair sort of snaps back to himself, and with much the same tone that he asked Luna about his daughter when he cast Sanctuary on him, looks at Luna and goes, "Do you trust me?"
He looks at his own hands and then looks up to Alistair and says, "It's not you I don't trust right now."
"Then let me take care of this. I have justice for this man.
And I have a daughter to see."
"Very well."
He leaves very quietly, and is going to pause, and he's going to listen from the stairwell.
I assume that Baron Jering is knocked out at this point.
He is unconscious, yeah, and he's smoking at this point.
Yeah, so Alistair, no one's there to see, but quickly sort of yanks down Baron Jering's trousers and then pulls them back up into place. He then, using his knowledge of life and death, uses his Circle of Mortality ability as a cleric of the grave, which allows him to stabilize and restore someone to maximum hit points, maximum amount of healing dice, and heals Baron Jering. Doesn't bring his eyeballs back, I'm sure.
Right, yeah. The skin begins to kind of reform and stitch itself back together, but the eyes are gone.
Yeah. You've had quite a day. I've brought you some water. Don't worry, it's not poisoned. I'll drink from it first. I know you can't see, but would you like some? Are you
please,
thirsty?
Please, yes. Oh, please.
And so I let him drink as deeply as he wishes.
Yeah, he kind of gulps down the water.
It's very interesting in my profession with the plague. We cauterize wounds, but sometimes we don't have a fire or heat in order to do so. It's interesting. You learn much in the field of medicine. Things sometimes as easy as simple as table salts are much more complicated than you might imagine. You see, table salt is actually two different things combined into one. One of them is chlorine, the other, sodium. Interesting thing about sodium. When it gets wet, it burns like fire, white, hot, with just a drop of liquid. Several more drops, it explodes. You see, when we need to cauterize a wound, we can use it, and the blood itself will cause it to burn hot enough in order to close the wound to make sure the plague doesn't spread. I hope you enjoyed your water. I've placed a matchstick of sodium in your urethra. You see, you probably don't know what that is. That's how you pee. So I think I'll just leave you here to think about that matchstick and hope that you have time to remember those four girls and what little choice they had when they were with you. And as he walks out, he takes his dagger and puts a small hole into the bucket of water he brought down, so it just starts to drip, 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 drip of water. Have a pleasant evening, Baron Jarring. And walks up the stairs.
Ooh.
Holy shit. Tall school.
Good.
I raise a drink to you, my friend.
Oh my god.
Wow.
I told you I came up with something interesting.
Yeah. Holy shit.
Yikes.
All right. Okay. Yeesh, that does not sound nice.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So, give me a second. So, you return upstairs back into the courtyard, and a group of you are back together. So Renfrid is up on the wall, and you hear a call go out from one of the soldiers, and Renfrid kind of points out across the wall. And looking out across the wall, you see a band of soldiers coming towards you. There are 50 of them, and they are wearing the same heraldry and armor as Renfrid's men. For the first time, you see a smile on Renfrid's face, and you see that there is one gentleman in particular riding a stallion who seems to be leading the group. And the men seem to be quite jubilant. Their spirits are lifted. And Renfrid kind of jumps down the staircase towards you and says, my nephew, he's alive.
This is most pleasant news. We are incredibly happy for you, and the sight of reinforcements is most welcome.
He nods and says, these are our remaining stalkers. Martel, Landgrave Martel, my nephew. Well, not in blood, but... Anyway, he seems to be kind of babbling a little bit, and they kind of fling open the gates as the soldiers walk into the manor. And they said about kind of, you know, hugging one another, shaking hands. Many of these seem to be brothers, sisters, actual family, or just lifelong friends that are meeting one another once again. You see Lorena there as well, and she seems to be greeting many of them too. Renfrid goes up to the man on the horse as... Landgrave Martel steps down. He's a younger man than Renfrid, more fresh and actually fairly handsome. He's got a shock of black hair and he still seems able to form a smile despite the recent horrors that he and his men have gone through. And he hugs Renfred in a deep embrace, and Renfred turns towards the group of you and says,
Martel, these are our newest companions.
And Martel steps towards the group of you and says, it's a pleasure to meet you all. He goes and shakes hands.
It's a pleasure to have you here now. It seems you've brought cause for celebration.
Oh, I don't know about celebration, but certainly a warm campfire song tonight would be nice. My name is Martel, and Renfred introduces Ori, Tamarin, Alistair, and Charles. And Martel goes and gives each of you an arm shake rather than just a handshake. And says, it is a pleasure to be amongst friends once again. The road has been long and, well, treacherous as well. Many were not so lucky as us to arrive here.
What news of the rest of the countryside?
So Wenton's knights, they pillage and burn as they go. We were hunted here, and then we lost them. But, well, there are a band of knights who... why don't we speak in private? And Renfred nods and says, a good idea. Let us go into the halls where the wolves have less ears. And Renfred strides inside, placing a hand on Martel's shoulder. He genuinely seems very happy to see his friend. And you go inside into the halls, and Martel and Renfred turn back. You're kind of in like a private meeting room, we'll say, at this point. And Martel says, yes, well, this band of knights, they're not far from here. They're defectors from Sir Wenton, an actual band who seem not to be able to follow his cause, led by one Sir Richard. They're south of here, near Arkenbury Cathedral. They're camped out in the woods, and, well, from what we've learned, they refuse to hunt down innocent villagers and townsfolk. So whoever this Sir Richard is must be a good fellow.
I sort of look at Sir Renfred, sort of catch his eye directly. You say near Arkenbury. Richard, should we perhaps go and rendezvous with this Sir Richard?
Renfred thinks it over and nods and says, it seems wise that we make contact. We may not be friends, but the enemy of my enemy. It seems like a good plan, as any... south from here, as long as they don't try and hunt you down, you can avoid any bands of Sir Wenton's knights, then a small group would travel well, rather than a larger one as Martel traveled with.
Could you spare any to go with us, or should we, the four of us, take this task on alone?
He says, I suppose I could offer a guide along the way. Too many troops would be spotted. A group of travelers as yourselves have no affiliation to an army. For instance, if a stalker were to be seen by one of the knights, their uniform would be recognized, and most likely they would be killed.
But we don't have any affiliations with you. So, we can travel?
Not visually, no. Correct.
Aye. Well, as long as my daughter's safe, I don't mind where I go for now.
He nods, and he says, I believe Seldan is looking after her. He's a good man.
I spoke with him briefly. He's getting on, don't get me wrong, but he's a nice fella. It's not many times I come across someone older than myself. Anyway, so we're heading out to, I don't know much about, is it Arkenbury?
Yes, perhaps now would be wise to inform the rest of you on this place. Auchinbury is a cathedral and a nearby town as well, but you see, there's a little bit more to the cathedral. Insofar as the murder of Crows exists there, Alistair's order.
It is the head of my order. We very rarely all congregate, but it is where our direction comes from, and the notes that we receive come from there. By whatever means they are able to divine how to track the plague and other movements around the countryside.
Which would mean?
Finding out where their alliance lies would be most helpful. I assume it's most likely they will stay neutral, but they know as well as I that war brings plague, and that is our number one enemy.
And that also means that Arkenbury's where that note came from. The one that prophesied the death of the Emperor.
Renford nods, and Martell looks surprised. Renford says, I'll fill you in on the rest soon, Martell. There is much for us to discuss.
Then it seems that we are headed to a place where information is abundant. If your order exists there, and we can find out things from them, and if Sir Richard did indeed work with our enemy, then we can find out things from him. I say we should leave as early as possible.
Renford nods, I agree. There are horses that you can take, provisions as well. Shouldn't be too long to get you there to the woods, and, well, if you run into any trouble, then send a raven. Troops will be there as soon as they can, but we can't really dedicate any large amount of forces to anything at this point. The road should be safe enough. Just avoid any of Wenton's knights and, well, perhaps best to stay off the road and away from villages and towns for the time being.
But we should be safe once we get there, though. Right, Alistair? You're with your order there.
Our order is complicated. This will in fact be my first time going to Auchinbury. It is complicated. But we all have one, the one thing we have in common is to fight the plague, and certainly they will see the logic that war can bring nothing but more disease, the tide of blood, to the land.
You're a very valuable asset to the Order. I'm sure they'll be very happy to see you.
I am very young to the Order. We will see. But it is not taken lightly to be brought into the Order in any age or capacity, so his body language, you can tell Alistair's a bit nervous.
Yeah, Renford looks a little bit uncomfortable as well, actually. And Martell looks quite confused. He says, I'm not sure I really understand much of this, but good luck to all of you. I'm going to take a rest. The road has been long, and well, if anyone needs me, then you can find me upstairs. And he smiles and claps Renford on the shoulder and retires upstairs. He's a good lad.
Ari looks at Renford and says, Sir, I think maybe you've earned yourself a night of peace and happiness. We will go and take care of this, and maybe you can just take some time to celebrate the fact that you have friends and family here. I fear you will go mad if you don't take some time for that.
You know, there's a saying about happiness in the soldiering business. But yes, I will take a night off.
Good. Good. We
enjoy the return to your home.
Yes, these walls are hallowed and bear many painful memories.
But should you need me, then you know where to find me. I shall walk the wall for a while.
Sir Renfred, if you could put a guard on the basement for me, make sure no one disturbs Baron Jering. It will be interesting to see how long he can think dry thoughts. Leaves it at that.
He raises an eyebrow but nods. Very well. Good luck to the group of you. See me before you leave. And he heads to the wall to walk.
I can't remember. Have we rested or not rested since taking the
No, we haven't.
I don't think so, no.
Okay.
Well, I think that maybe we should rest and prepare. And I personally don't really want to bother Renfred right now. I think he deserves a little bit of time to reconnect with his loved ones. So maybe I'll go find a room.
Yes, I think it's best to gather our thoughts. We've been through a very high-strung evening.
For sure.
So you guys go to your rooms and find rest. And probably wake up sometime in the evening. Well, time is getting dark. And rejoin back in that kind of meeting hall where you spoke with Renfred. As promised, he does have horses and, you know, they're saddled and ready to go along with provisions. And Captain Lorena's waiting for you. And she says, Renfred's told me you're off on a mission.
Yes, we are. Are you to be our guide for this?
Yeah, for some of the way.
Any help you can give us is most welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, I volunteered.
Really?
That's incredibly brave of you.
Well, traveling to a village is not the most brave thing I've done, but thanks. So, your bags are packed, the horses are out, and I'll be leading the way. Any questions?
Does she still have her uniform arm on? Like her, anything that would distinguish her?
Yeah, she's kind of covered it.
Okay.
So she's still wearing her armor, but she's wearing like a cloak. You'd have to like take off the cloak to see her insignia.
Okay.
Lorena, you are one of Renfred's information gatherers.
Right.
What can you tell us of Arkin Berry?
She looks thoughtfully and says, well, in truth, not too much. I know that the townsfolk there have been immune to all plagues and diseases for as far as anyone can remember. It seems as though the gods bless them. And Renfred has informed me that the murder of crows exists there, a mysterious group of individuals. Many have tried to approach them, but as far as I can tell, no one succeeded. They seem to be incredibly secretive. In terms of defenses, there is no military, so you need not fear any soldiers or knights there.
And of course, we don't have anything to fear from a crow, do we? And he glances at Alistair, who's... he overheard some of what Alistair said, and though he didn't understand it entirely, he gets the feeling that he's had a very misconceived idea of what the crows have been for a very, very long time. Certainly Alistair is, not what he was expecting, and being at the heart of their organization, being surrounded by people who have been in the organization a lot longer than he has, that's unsettling.
Yeah, Lorena kind of packs the bags and is waiting outside of the horses as she kind of saddles up.
Can I do an insight check on Luna to see if Alistair picks up on that that Luna's very,
sure,
you know, is feeling this way?
Sure.
Or do you feel as though you're projecting it pretty easily?
Yes and no. I'm going to roll a deception check, to be completely honest.
No, I rolled a 6, so
yeah.
Alistair's probably lost in his own thoughts because Alistair's actually very concerned as well.
Okay. So, the runner's outside. You guys saddle up and Renfred is at the gate as you guys set out to leave. He says, good luck, my friends. May the roads see you towards your destination as swiftly as possible.
We appreciate your help. And once again, thank you for everything that you provided us. We wouldn't have made it this far without you.
Something gives me the feeling that I wouldn't be here without you lot either, so my thanks as well. Look after Lorena for me. And he shoots her a wink.
I fear she'll be the one looking after us, my lord.
That's bloody right, she says. And the gates open up. The horses charge out of the gates, leaving Renfred in their dust. So, you guys are leaving the Kirchwald estate and heading south to Arkenbury. The runners told you that this shouldn't be too long a journey, probably about half a week. Once you reach there, she is going to be returning, and she won't stay with you for the course of the expedition because Renfred has wanted her back, basically, seeing as she is the captain of them. So she's leading the way and kind of taking you cross country, basically. You're not going along the roads because of fear for Sir Wenton's knight. And so you camp in the woods along the roadsides and anywhere that you can hide, essentially. So after two nights of travel, you guys pack up in the morning. And Arena says, right, we should be to the woods near Arkenbury by the end of today. And that's where I'll leave you.
Well, thank you for taking us this far. The voyage has been peaceful. Your company was much appreciated.
She nods curtly and says, well, best of luck to you, I suppose. Not sure what you're going to face there, but...
And you as well on your travels back. I hope your safe return is inevitable.
Yeah, Alistair, I was just going to say, he's been silent pretty much this whole trip. He is very uneasy about this whole meeting of the crows. The only other crow he has ever dealt with or met was the old crow. Yeah. And now, and the letters that he's received sending him in directions. But for the most part, multiple crows, even in a single city, is unknown to Alistair. Even when he was with the old crow, there was never a group of crows in any of the small cities or towns that they went to. So yeah. The idea of just meeting other crows, the fact that Alistair received his mask basically from a dying man without much instruction, and that he's been, I'm sorry to say this, winging it all this time. So he's been quiet and just, quietly nods as in thanks to Lorena as she leaves and is sort of bracing himself for what might
come. You guys, does anyone sort of, I guess, approach or challenge Alistair about the crows?
One quick question. If I'm remembering the map of Penumbra correctly, the church is farther south.
There is a town and then there's the cathedral itself.
Gotcha.
Even further south.
Yeah. Okay. So we're heading technically back towards the plague area.
Yeah. Okay. You're headed directly plague woods.
Great.
Cool.
That won't be an issue, I'm sure.
Nope.
But during the travels, at some point Ari will go to get next to Alistair and just look at him and say, Alistair, I can tell that something seems to be bothering you throughout this journey, and I'm not quite sure what that may be. I'm not really familiar with your order or anyone's or any of this. It's all new, but you have brought great honor to crows, and and they are very lucky to have you. You shouldn't be nervous, I don't think. I can't imagine why they wouldn't be thrilled to be your partner.
I know as little about my order as you do. So, I don't know if I was even truly chosen, or just a stray that the old crow picked up and happened to be in the right place at the right time. You see, I'm conflicted, I'm torn. There's part of me that's afraid they'll take the mask away. But there's another part of me that hopes that they will.
Alistair, well, you are gifted. There is something so special about you, and you possess something unique. I promise you, you are not happenstance. But I hope that the situation goes in your favor.
I hope it goes in the favor for all of those who need it. If there is someone more skilled than I who could solve this plague, then perhaps the mask should go to them. But I have a promise to keep that perhaps it will be me.
Well, Alistair, if there is someone more skilled than you, I cannot wait to meet them.
More skilled and more terrifying as well. And Alistair sort of gets quiet after saying that. And sort of pulls into himself a little.
Ari will sort of stop pushing him. She can tell that this is not something he's very comfortable talking about, so she'll put it to rest and continue on.
Okay, so the group of you leave the campsite after Lorena leaves you, and you travel into the woods near Arkenbury, just north of the town itself. You know, even further south, the cathedral itself lies. Who is leading the group at this point now that Lorena's gone?
I'll go ahead and be in the front, just because my favorite terrain is forests.
Okay, you can roll me a perception check.
That's a 10. Man, 10s really seem to love me.
Yeah, it's your number. So you're trying to look out for any signs of soldiers around here as you're traveling through these quite wet woods, and the rain around you is obscuring both the sounds of anyone talking, but also vision as well. And then you hear a voice call out, "Who goes there?" And it's probably about 20 feet ahead of you, somewhere through the rains, and you can kind of make out behind a tree, you think you can make out a figure of a man.
I'll just hold up my hand signaling for the rest of the group to just stop, and then lower it to my short sword and say, "We are just travelers. We're on our way to Arkenbury."
He says, "What's your business in Arkenbury?"
"We are to meet with the crows. We only seek information."
"Ah, meet with the crows, is it? No one meets with the crows."
I look back at Alistair.
Yeah, Alistair then sort of walks forward in to the light and just sort of shows himself and sees what the reaction is. Whatever you'd like me to roll, either silent intimidation maybe of just, you're going to actually stop a crow.
Yeah, you can roll me an intimidation check.
An 8.
Yeah. He says, "Fancy mask." And He says, you armed?
We are, but only justly. These lands are plagued by war and sickness.
Do you represent Sir Richard?
He seems to stop for a moment. How do you know that name?
We have heard of your exploits and came to speak with Sir Richard.
Can you heal?
I can.
How come the crows up there won't heal us?
I cannot say, but I can.
All right, lads. And from the kind of forest around you, you see several other soldiers kind of step out, and they place their bows down from their hidden positions, but they still are kind of holding them with knocked arrows. And the guy who was calling out to you says, "You can come with us. No funny business, or we'll kill you."
Understood.
So this man leads you through the woods towards a campsite, where you can see that there are a lot of soldiers. All of them are wearing the insignia of the Emperor, and most of them are fully plated. You can see that they do have several wounded who are lying about in the camp, and there's campfires around as well, and tents that they've set up here. And they're not anything more than several hundred feet away from Arkenbury itself. You can see that the tree line breaks, and you can see the town out in front of you. So they seem as though they're supplicants to Arkenbury itself, although not maybe allowed in. And the soldiers, and you would guess it's anywhere between 50 to 100 people in here. It's difficult to tell because they're moving in and out of tents quite regularly. They kind of bristle as they see you and raise some weapons, but the man leading you holds up a hand as if to gesture to put them down, and they do. And he leads you towards a central campfire, where there are several of these wounded men lying around, and one of them, who's kind of knelt over and seems to be looking after one of the wounded, stands up towards you. This man is introduced to you as Sir Richard. He's got black hair and a shaggy black beard, and also wears full plated armor, and you notice that the insignia of the Emperor has been burnt or just physically removed from his armor, and several of the other knights have a similar thing done to them as well. And he says, "All right, who are these lot then?" And the man says, "We found him along the road." And he goes back to his duties.
Alistair steps forward. "I am the White Crow. I hear you are in need of healing. I can see those here, but as you know, this close to the plague, any wound is a danger. Please, if you care for keeping these men alive and to keep your rest of your regiment from spreading and catching the plague, any wound, no matter how small, if it bleeds, bring them to me. I have work to do."
"A crow? But the crows won't help us."
"I will."
"Are you one of them, or are you just wearing a mask?"
"I am a crow, and I wear the mask of the crows. I am new to the order."
"Then why won't they help us?"
"I am on my way to find that out myself."
He nods and says, they're organized in the wounded, so you can see to them."
"Very well." I look over to Luna and to Ari. "Do you remember what we did before? Can you heat the metal and start getting some clean bandages?"
"Yes, we know what to do."
"Tamrin, I need your eyes. Any wound, any blood, have them report to me so we can make sure."
"Hold on now. I want some answers from one of you."
"What is it, you're... What are your questions?"
"Can I just say, Alistair walks off and goes towards the tent."
Yeah.
He's going to work, no matter what this guy says.
He doesn't stop you, but I guess he's left speaking to Luna, and says, "Who are you with?"
"Nobody."
All right, roll me a deception check.
22.
Ooh, nice. He nods and says, "And why are you looking to speak with the crows?"
"It's plague time, and we've all come from south. It's worse there. And it's past worse there. It's to the point where there'd be villages down there that are nothing but graveyards. Rivulets of blood running through the streets. We came seeking answers. Same as everybody else."
He nods as if that's reasonable. "Aye, aye. Have you run into any knights along the way? Not us, mind, but, you know, the ones that butcher families."
"All I was telling you is, I wouldn't like to be back ways where I came from. I've seen some acts of so-called knights. They leave a lot to be desired."
He nods. "Aye, we're not all of us like that. But help your friends."
"And not all crows refuse to help those in need."
"Aye, I can see that."
"And, just as you said, the crows who turned you away. Who met with you?"
"No one. No one will meet with anyone. That's a problem."
"But if you could get inside. I know you're honourable men, but you didn't think to try and take the place by force."
He shakes his head and says, "That's a place of worship. One of the last left. Now, it may not be knights anymore, but ain't gonna go busting down no cathedral."
"Aye, that's reasonable enough. Well, I'm not going to lie to you. This ain't going to be pretty. I've seen him work before, and you ain't going to save all of your men. But..."
"I'm under no illusions."
"Very well, then. You're fighting men. We need metal. Nothing you planning to use anytime soon. Shards, casts off, anything you got. We need stuff to close wounds. And I'd stay away from the tent if I were you. Trust me."
He nods. And so, throughout the course of the day, the group of you go about your bloody business, saving those lives that you can and ending those that you can't. Alistair, you're concerned that some of these soldiers could be carrying the blood plague.
Lord. Okay.
Which means a couple of things.
Yeah. So Alistair, how many? And are they the ones that are dying, or is it ones that we thought that, or is it, am I catching, did Tamron see people blood and bring me people who weren't necessarily bleeding from wounds, but you know, that he thought was a wound, but when it turns out it's actually the plague. Yeah,
there's one guy that's died who is showing signs of having the blood plague, but looks like he just died from his actual mortal wound. And there's another guy who's currently still alive who's been sputtering up blood most of the evening that you're particularly concerned about. Which, and if he's been in this camp for any amount of time.
Yeah. So I look down at him and go, "You weren't wounded. When did this start?"
No, I was wounded. It's just healed."
He slaps him across the face. "When did it start?"
He kind of looks down.
Can't have been anything more than a week, two, maybe.
He said, Alistair does say that.
Just a cough, mind.
How far is he?
How far gone?
Yep.
He has begun to kind of bleed from his ears.
So...
he's probably got a couple of days.
Alistair slits his throat.
All right, you run the blade across his throat. And he falls dead in the tent. And a group of you presumably look stunned.
Yeah, I look around. We've got a whole nother problem here. I point to my bag. I look around me. So is it just the four? Actually, I probably didn't have all four of them inside. Tamron was, well, no, they've all been in and out. So we're probably all in there.
Yeah.
I look around them. We've got a whole nother problem. I look to my bag and I look to Tamron. I hand him basically the turpentine stuff before that we used for cleaning. The whole bottle, the largest pot you can get. Add no more than two more bottles full of this water to it and bring it to a boil as fast as you can. I look around, how many other wounded soldiers are in the tent?
There are 10 other wounded soldiers in here.
How many have open wounds?
Almost all of them at this point have some kind of open wound, yeah. We'll say 9 out of 10.
I look to the tent around this man who was coughing. Are there small droplets of blood from when he was coughing that it's basically small enough to have been an aerosol? You know what I'm saying? That there's just little where it's splattered, so it's become in the gotten in the air.
Yeah.
How big's the tent? 60 feet?
Sure.
I look around at them. I need all of you. I need all of you. We have to get ourselves sterile so that we are not carrying anything out. I just double check and inspect. I mean, even you must tell me, do any of you have even a scratch from a briar from this trip? Anything? He looks them over and doesn't find anything. Okay. Perhaps we'll be okay. The turpentine, first thing. A fire close here. Try not to get near anybody. Any cloths that we have had in here need to be burned. We then need to sterilize ourselves. Let no one else come near the tent. I need to go and inform Sir Richard. I take out from my bag a different little bottle. It has a lead stopper. It is almost an evil-looking bottle. It's black, and it has been sealed with lead. And he steps over to one side, and he cracks it open. Do not breathe of this. The vape, the fumes, do not breathe them. And you can see he sort of takes a big breath and begins, you know, because he's always wearing his leathers and just begins wiping down his leathers with everything. And then closes it back up and says, you stay here until the turpentine is ready. In fact, I take the bottle back from him and I will get it ready and bring it to you. Do not leave here. Stay as far away from that man and from any of these bodies as you can. Please trust me. Do not leave. Feeling as though he's taking the precautions that he can, he goes outside, closes the tent tightly. Is there anyone around near the outside of the tent?
There's a couple of guards.
Do not let anybody into that tent.
Okay.
Don't go in yourself either. I will be right back. I go over to the fire, get that going. I try to not look panicked.
Yeah.
Ari can come over there and follow you to the fire, and she looks at you.
Well, I think you're in the tent.
Oh. Yeah, they're locking you in the tent.
We were saying all three of you. Will was saying all three of you are in the tent.
Oh, so
and
we're
exposed
not. We can't come with
point.
You. So we can't come with you.
Yeah, you can stop him as sure you can stay. Stop him as he's leaving, though.
Okay.
Yes. If you want to say something to me, but Alistair's probably not going to let
yeah,
you out.
Yeah. So, well, Ari will stop you real quick and say, Alistair, I can help you. Bring it to a boil faster if you need it. Much faster.
That would be helpful. This is going to hurt. Badly. Or you can wait, but If you're willing to help and you can make this, bring this to a boil faster, it would be appreciated.
I can do it. I can take it. Just do whatever you need to do.
Hold your breath. And I open up the bottle again. And I'm pouring basically acid onto her exposed hands.
That's gonna hurt.
Oh, God.
Probably, I don't know what you want to assign to it. I think that what acid, a vial of acid is a D6 if you throw it or something along those lines.
Yeah, we're all a D6. So yeah, it'll take 3 damage, Ori.
Okay.
As it splashes onto your hands and burns.
I mean, literally, and you know, Alistair is pretty much, what he's doing is using the acid to then peel your top couple layers of skin off.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. I will heal you as soon as I can, but we've got to get this taken care of. So I bring him out. I bring Ori out to the fire as fast as you can.
Yeah.
I hand her the bottle, boil it, and I go find Sir Richard.
Yeah. You find him by the campfire. How's it going in there?
I need to speak with you privately as soon as possible.
He nods and leads you out into the woods. What's up?
One of your men had the plague.
The what?
The blood plague. An advanced case. He's had it for almost 2 weeks. Everyone with open wounds in that tent is exposed right now, and potentially others within your band as well.
Then what do we do?
I only see 2 options. I don't know if those 10 men can be saved, but they can't be allowed to infect others. I can show them mercy now and try to nip this in the bud. But I also know that we're going to need every man that we can get, and he totally slips because he's shaken, to help Sir Renfred and recruit you to our effort. And he realizes about then what he has said.
Yeah. So Richard kind of looks as he realizes what you've said as well. And, what? Renfred, you're with him. Men, arrest this man.
Son of a bitch.
And that is where we're going to wrap up tonight's episode of Turncloaks.
Oh, boy.
I always find myself evilly laughing after every episode. I wonder why that is. But that's where we're going to wrap up tonight's episode, my friends. If you guys enjoyed it, then please do let us know. But yes, you can tweet to us at TurnCloaksPod. You can use the hashtag TurnCloaks to talk about the show. We'd love to hear from you guys. And hopefully you guys are looking forward to next week as well. But let's go around and get some reactions from the cast and crew. And of course, where we can find you guys online. Let's start with Alistair.
Sorry, guys. I thought it was about a 50-50 chance. But actually, I do think it's what Alistair would have done. Because at that point, he's trying to, you know, he's in plague mode and trying to save lives because he didn't get to say his next part of what the other option was other than killing those men. So we'll see.
All right.
We'll see what happens. But great episode as always, Will. And
fantastic.
Yeah, we can talk more about sodium later. Sodium metal later. Yep, and you can find me all over the internet at Tall Squall on Twitter. And you can find links to everything else about me from there. And it's always fun to be on Turncloaks.
Fantastic. Joseph.
Another great episode. It's really fun to participate in this world and also just sit back and watch things happen. Alistair's work in this episode, it's always grisly stuff, but I think so appropriate for the world that we're in. So really great to be a part of this and another great episode in the epic saga that is Turncloaks. My name is Joseph. You can find me on Twitter at JosephIsNotFast. And thanks again for a great episode, you guys.
Fantastic. Josh?
Yeah, it's been an episode and a half. Much death. And it's only going to get more cheerful. That's the great thing about Turncloaks, is I can always look forward to more cheer and happiness down the line. Yay! But truth be told, you can find me on Mondays and Tuesdays on Encounter Roleplay, doing Encounter Roleplay stuff. And yeah.
Hell yeah, hell yeah. All right, guys, thanks so much for listening to Turncloaks once again. We appreciate it. I hope that you have enjoyed it. Until next time, my friends, try not to throw too many net ones, because we want to be laughing when you do. Good night.